Hello, and welcome to the Besotted Geek. I'm Stork, but I'd rather be Patrick Wilson. And this is going to be a quick abbreviated episode of the old Besotted Geek because we are recording a movie episode this week for patreon.com/besotted geek. So I am going to save some news stories and trailer talk and things like that for that show. So this will be a quick one, but let's start off, as we always do, with the old box office. For the weekend of July 7th through 9th, coming in first, a new movie, Insidious: The Red Door, made $32 million, and that's pretty good for an opening weekend for a horror movie. It's a franchise, but still, I think that's a good opening. And it knocked out Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny down to number 2 for $26.5 million, a total of $121 million. I think getting knocked out by a horror movie in the second week is a bad sign, even if it's a very popular franchise of horror movie. That's not great. It's over $100 million. That's pretty good, I guess, but still, I think falling to 2 after 2 weeks, not great. And coming at number 3, Sound of Freedom, made $18 million for a total of $40 million. I don't know how that works because it wasn't out last week. So how is it making a total of something when it's only been out 1 week? I don't know. But $40 million, I don't even know what this is, from Angel Studios. It could be, I'm going to guess it's religious. I'm going to throw that out there. I have no idea. And coming at 4th, Elemental made another $9.6 million for a total of $109 million. And 5th, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, another $8 million for $357. 6th, Joyride, that's a new comedy, made $5.85 million. That's pretty low, even for a comedy. Yeah, it didn't look good to me. I don't know. I'm not the audience for it, it being a comedy and all. I don't really care for comedy, as you can tell by this show. And coming in at 7, No Hard Feelings, another comedy, made another $5 million for $40. Yeah, it's not bad. 8th, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, $5 million for $146 million. 9th, Little Mermaid, still chugging along. Good for you, Little Mermaid, $3.5 million for $289. And the 10th, Ruby Gilman, made $2.8 million for a total of $11 in its second week. So there we go. Moving on, I don't even have a getting to know you. It's been a dull ass week, so I've got nothing for that. But I did watch a couple shows. Strange New Worlds, I kind of was down on it last week. This one was good. This episode was good. It was a good old-fashioned Star Trek episode. The crew gets amnesia. Some of them are down on a planet trying to solve the mystery of why is there this huge Star Trek insignia on this planet that was explored a few years ago, maybe 10, I don't know. I forget the time frame. All of a sudden, they have advanced technology, so it seems like somebody disrupted the Prime Directive. And when they go, they start getting headaches and losing their memory. And the same thing is happening to the ship above. So I'm not going to spoil or anything about it, but it was a good episode. It felt like a TOS next-gen proper episodic episode, and that's what I'm here for this show. We got to see a lot of the crew members doing things. On the ship, Spock and the pilot. Love the pilot. I can never remember her name, but I love her. And the nurse were doing a lot of things. On the planet, the doctor, who kicks ass, and Pike and our security chief were doing things on the planet. So it did involve a lot of the crew, which I like, and I think it should. That's what I want from this show. I want a lot of beaming down to planets and solving issues and getting into trouble and solving it all in a tidy 45 to 50 minutes. So there we go. Is it an hour, actually? I don't know, because it's a streaming service, and we don't have commercials when we watch it, and I just don't know how long the episodes are. So I assume they're still around the 45-minute mark, just for people who don't have the ad-free version. You suckers. The only reason we have it is because we're Trek fiends, and we got it while we were doing our Star Trek podcast, because that would be a real pain to have to watch TOS and Next Gen episodes weekly and have to deal with all the commercials. Sometimes multiple episodes in a day, we'd record a few in a day. So again, if you want to check that out, head over to patreon.com/massagegeek. That's where those are. I also watched Secret Invasion episode 3. I don't know why I have 2.3. It's still the first season. I like this one. It's picking up as well. Good tension throughout. A lot of good acting by Ben Mendelsohn and Samuel. Samuel being Samuel, I wish they'd let him drop a motherfucker, or he said bull at one point. I'm just like, just let him say bullshit. Come on. It just felt like he was just on the cusp of really like going full Samuel. But he was really good in it. And like I said, Ben Mendelsohn, I love that guy as an actor. He always plays the heavy, but he's cast as the heavy a lot of times, I should say. But he's just a fine actor overall, especially in that Netflix show, God, the one with Kyle Chandler about the beach. The first season was really good, and then it kind of tailed off in season 2 and 3. I think Linda Cardellini was in it too. If you haven't seen that, look it up. Check it out. He's really good in that. Plays kind of a scumbag, but not a villain per se. So, and I will spoil this. Here, spoiler alert. I don't have a spoiler alert sound effect here. There you go. That's for spoilers. Khaleesi got shot and turned into a Skrull, so it looks like she's dead. So that's shocking to see Emilia Clarke out of the series already in episode 3. I don't know how many there are. I think it's a short series, I want to say. I'm going to say like 6 episodes. Again, completely talking on my ass. I have no idea. But kind of a shocker ending there. I like the bad guy. Great scene in the restaurant with him and Samuel. And then all of a sudden, everyone in the restaurant turns into that guy. So they're all Skrulls. It was pretty cool effect and just a good scene. So it's picked up for me. I think it was a little too slow for a first episode and didn't give you what you needed to know going into it. The second episode tried to rectify that, but I think it was a little too late. But this third one I thought was really good. So I'm enjoying it. It's not up there with my favorite Marvel shows by any stretch, but it's on the upswing for me. All right, let's move on to some sports ball. And we'll start, as we always do, with golf. The Austrian, quote-unquote, Sepp Straka. I say that because when he actually spoke for the interview, he did not sound Austrian at all. He might have been born there, but he just sounds like a good old boy. I think he went to Georgia University. A lot of people in the tournament did. This was a tournament with a bunch of scrubs. I'll come out and say it. It was a bunch of no-names because the big heavy hitters are preparing for the British Open in 2 weeks. A lot of them are probably either skipping this event and even the previous one. And the next event coming up is the Scottish Open, which is in the British area. So I think a lot of them are going over there, and that's treating that as like a practice tournament before the British Open, which is at Royal Liverpool Club, I want to say, something like that. It's definitely in Liverpool. So yeah, the Scottish Open, playing in that, and then hop down to Liverpool for the British Open the following week. Some guys probably won't even play the Scottish one. I don't know, but a lot of the top tier players were not anywhere near this tournament. So it was kind of up for grabs. And the cool thing about old Sepp Straka, he was on fire. On the final day on Sunday, I think through 12 holes, he was 9 under or something crazy. And that started to garner the attention of the gallery, and they started to swarm him. And I think the pressure got to him because it's a big deal to shoot 60 or under. The lowest score in a PGA tournament is 58 by Jim Furyk, who still lost that tournament, which is funny. I think there's 259s, and I don't know how many 60s there are or whatever, but this guy was definitely flirting with 60, and he shot like a double bogey on the last hole. He put it in the water and ended up with a 62. So that was disappointing, but they were really making a big deal out of it. And then the guys behind him really had a good chance, at least one of them, to catch Straka and force a playoff at the very least, and they just choked. It's just a, you know, the moment was too big for a lot of them. I think he just was on fire at the right time. And the course looked pretty cool. It was in Illinois, and it looked like farmland. There wasn't, you're not seeing the outskirts of Chicago anywhere or anything like that. So it was a nice looking course. I only watched Sunday, and even that, it was, I want to say, I don't know, the people in the lead, which they didn't really follow. They were following this Sepp Straka, and I think he was already at the ninth or tenth when we started watching it. So, yeah, I didn't see a ton of the course, but from what I saw, it looked nice. And congrats to him. I think it's his, it's not his first win. I think he's won at least one other one. So we'll see what he can do. He seems like a younger guy. So maybe this, he can build off of this. I think he is very hit or miss in tournaments, is what I remember them talking about. He, like, either he misses the cut or he finishes in the top 10. And it's give or take with the guy. So we shall see. In local, for me, sports, the Pittsburgh Pirates selected pitcher Paul Skenes. Somebody, Paul, from LSU, with the number one pick in the MLB draft. He's a pitcher. I don't know if I mentioned that. I don't really like the pick. I don't know anything about Paul other than he's the savior of Dune. I don't really follow baseball to that extent. But I was listening to their local sports talk radio, and Yinzer called in to the station. I think he had a good point, and the broadcaster, the announcer, the host, is that the word I'm looking for? Yes, host, agreed with him that when you have a pick that high, yeah, it's nice to take an ace pitcher, but they only play 30 games a year if you're lucky. Whereas if you take a great position player, you're getting them as many days as they can play. So, I mean, yeah, you're going to give guys days off. They're not going to play 162 games. I get that, but they'll play 140 something, right? So there's that. Also, a pitcher's not even going to play 9 innings in this day and age. A lot of pitchers, they're lucky to get through 7 because of the pitch count and the way they baby pitchers, because they pay them so much money and they don't want them to throw their arms out. Pitchers are more susceptible to injuries. At least they don't have to hit anymore, which I guess is a benefit for that department. So there's no risk of them really doing some crazy base running accident or, God forbid, getting hit by a pitch or something. But I just feel like they're injury prone. They're more of a crapshoot. And look, I'm not going to say that I know anywhere near what even a bad team as the Pirates, their scouting department and their organization knows what they need in the minors to build up. If they need pitching, then okay. But it just seems like, I don't know, a bit of a wasted opportunity to not take the best position player, because again, you're going to get him for so much more than 30 games. But we'll see. I hope the guy does great. And he does great for 2 years before we let him go to a Yankees or a Red Sox or a Dodgers or a Cubs type team. So that's the way it rolls here. I'm not bitter. Other scores over the weekend: 3-7, 2-3, and 4-2. All right, moving on. I do have a very little bit of nerd news that I would normally save for the movie episode, but since it's talking about a photograph and Peacock usually poo-poos that type of thing, I'd be like, hey, look at this picture. Isn't it cool? Oh, okay. So I'm just going to discuss it here where I know it'll be appreciated. We got our first picture of Hugh Jackman in the Wolverine costume in Deadpool 3, and it's the classic yellow and blue, and it looks glorious. Not the hood up. I want to see the hood, too, and the mask. But just him walking side by side with Deadpool. And Deadpool's costume looks a little brighter as well to me, in this photo anyway. But it was just really cool. Not my favorite Wolverine costume. I do like the brown one more. I don't know, but this is the more like the cartoon from the 90s look, which I'm fine with. At least it's not just the black leather bullshit that they wore. And because they didn't think they could get away with looking too much like the comics, which the MCU kind of proved them wrong. So it was just a cool photo and just reminded me like, oh yeah, this movie has Wolverine in it. That's pretty damn cool. I almost kind of forgot that Hugh Jackman was going to be in Deadpool 3. So it was nice to see it actually happening, and seeing him in that costume is, I don't know, it just hits me in the nerd funny bone, I guess. And I can't wait to see who else is in what costume. I want to see Halle Berry in that crazy Storm get up. Who doesn't? Am I right? Okay. Where is she? She still looks great. Anyway, moving on, coming soon to theaters this week. There's not much coming to streaming, although I must have missed this one, that Adam Driver dinosaur sci-fi movie. It's on Netflix right now. I think I missed that one recently. Sorry about that. If you were looking for something to watch over the weekend, I would have watched it, and I just saw it yesterday, this being Tuesday. So I saw it on Monday, and I don't watch movies during the week typically. But Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 comes July 12th, and that is a Wednesday. Odd. I thought movies came out on Fridays, especially big blockbustery ones like this one. I think this one will do well. People love these movies. They are so over the top laughable that's kind of where it hits me and why I like watching them. Me and Peacock watched a bunch of them on streaming services over the past couple months, because I really, back in the day, saw the first one in the theater and liked it enough. And then I saw the second one in the theater I thought was shit, and then I never saw another one. So yeah, I've been kind of going back, not in any sort of order, but watching them, just being like, holy God, this is ridiculous. Just laughing when you know that it's Tom Cruise, like, doing all these stunts, and seeing him running will just bust out laughing. And they're fun movies. They are. There's nothing deep about them. That they're sometimes confusing as hell to me, but I'm just sitting there watching them and being like, I don't even care what the plot is. Just show me Tom running or climbing the side of a building, and I actually know it's him, and it's crazy, and it makes me laugh. And that's what I'm there for. And yeah, this looks like more just insanity. So I can't wait till it comes to streaming service, because I'll be watching it. And this is one that we, I don't know, if you're not part of our Patreon, that's patreon.com/besottedgeek. Yeah, we cover movie franchises mostly during the year. We'll do a franchise every month. And this is one that would be a lot of fun eventually. If we get through, we have a lot running right now, like 10 different ones. So if we can close a few out, maybe this one will get put on the list, because I think it'll be a fun one. I think that first one is the odd duckling. Is that a term? Ugly duckling? Yeah. The odd man out, if you will, of the whole franchise, because it takes itself seriously, I think. I don't know about the second one. I only saw it once. But I think they start gradually just embracing the ridiculousness, and that's when they get better and more enjoyable to watch. Maybe not better, but more fun. So we shall see. But that's it for me. Like I said, short episode, saving some stuff for the movie episode. So I will be back next week with, at the very least, some more. Like I said, we're doing the movie, so I might be a little short on news and stuff again next week. But I will be back with, at the very least, some more Strange New Worlds, Secret Invasion, and hopefully, well, of course, golf. Who wants to miss any of that stuff? Hey. So I will talk to you later. Oh, wait. I do have some contact info. Twitter @BesottedGeekPod. Twitter's dying. I don't know if you know this, but it's just seems like a slow, agonizing death. And I'm considering other alternatives, but I'm very lazy. and I don't want to be affiliated with Facebook. It seems like this Threads, is that a thing? Threads. It seems like it should be like a clothing store. Threads. Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me. Mastodon, I looked at it. That's too confusing. There's this other one, Blue Sky. Blue skies are going to clear up. Put on a happy face. It's invite only. What the fuck? I'm not going to get invited. So I just don't have an alternative right now, but I would like one. So if anybody knows of anything, if you got an invite from first Blue Sky, you know, hook me up. I wouldn't mind joining that. It seems like the most sane one. Website, besidegeek.com, booze recipes, email us, besidegeek@gmail.com, tpublic.com/user/besidegeek. They've been doing a lot of sales lately. I think they're kind of dying as well because they charge too damn much and take too much in fees and don't let you put up cool Star Trek designs. Fuck them. That's my selling point. I am such a salesman. Patreon.com/besidegeek for our monthly movie episodes and a bunch of early access, and sometimes I'll throw up random stuff there that you don't get anywhere else. All the old episodes too. We have over 300 old episodes, I think, something like that. Yeah, sure, I'll just throw that out there. And twitch.tv/besidegeek. I do want to still do that video about the TV show movie thing, but I just haven't had the time, so hopefully soon, but that's still on the burner. Anyway, that is it for me, so have a good rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon. See ya.